cliffcentral.com.
Oh, it's my favorite version.
It's the trippy version of Leanne, of Anthea's song. She works hard for the money. Here she is. Go. Take it away.
She works hard for the money.
She is. Hey, Anthea, what's up?
Good morning. I can see why we needed that this morning.
Anthea, I heard you had to smoke a lot to get your voice that low for that recording.
A lot, yes. Yeah. And some training beautiful. As well.
Leanne Manis gave her lessons. All right, so why do you think we needed that version this morning?
Oh, it's month end, and it's just, you know, everything happens at month end, so... And again, the politicians are driving me insane. I feel like I want to get out of this world sometimes.
Did you hear, like, I kind of like Edward Kiesvetter because I know he's a straight shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's good for SARS because he's also quite scary. And he's the way that, the way the tax man should be, right? But
scary.
He goes on TV last week and I saw the gist of what he was saying is that we're all responsible for the disaster that we're in. And I felt like... You know, climbing through the TV and actually giving him a smack because we're not all responsible. Taxpaying citizens have done what they've always done. They've followed the rules, they've paid their taxes, and now this guy's saying, no, we're all complicit in the situation where... No, we're not.
Reference to what?
The fiscus, the problem that we've got with how much money the country owes, how much has been stolen. I'm like, no, we're not all thieving.
That's a bit cheeky of him.
Yeah, it is cheeky. It's like taking the ANC's collective responsibility and applying it across society. It's not true. Most people are not deceitful, thieving sons of bitches like the government are.
To put a fine point.
No, we're really not. And people who are paying tax, and that's the middle class in this country. You can't blame them. They're the only ones keeping the whole machine running.
It's funny because I didn't hear last week's speech, but I have previously heard him talk about taxpaying citizens and how great we are and what we're doing right. So I'm surprised to hear him say that.
Yeah, I was too.
It seems a bit...
Very disappointing.
And that's very unlike Edward to throw out something like that.
His political bosses might just be putting some pressure on him. Either way.
Politics. Yeah. Politics across the oceans. Let's talk about that just very, very briefly.
All right.
Okay? So, you know, they started impeachment process on Donald Trump. I mean, he's not the first U.S. president to have impeachment process started.
Well, I think he'd only be the fourth.
No, I think there's a lot more, actually. So I looked this up. I mean, there's the obvious ones. There's Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. And then Jackson.
And Andrew James Jackson. Buchanan.
James Buchanan.
Andrew Johnson.
Okay.
John Tyler, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, but not all of them were successful. And I think that's what you're saying, right?
I think so.
So I think the successful ones...
I thought it was much less, but okay.
Well, yeah, so those who have impeachment proceedings started against them. So we'll see where this goes. But I tell you what, I walked into the office the next morning, and everyone was going, what do you think this is going to do to the market? And I was like, does anyone really care? I mean, so it's quite a funny old thing. But it did have an impact because the S&P, when it started, the S&P fell its biggest drop in a month that day. So we do know it's negative for the market.
Okay. It's any instability, any uncertainty just makes traders scared.
And in the UK, we've got Boris Johnson.
Yeah, there's even more uncertainty there.
I honestly
thought... No deal Brexit's what? It's the end of next
month.
So they've still got a month to tidy themselves up.
But I thought Johnson would be the shortest serving prime minister in Britain. 63 days he was last week Thursday. So today, call it 70 days. George Canning was the shortest at 119 days. And I think he died in office.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So in other words, there are new records being set.
She said, rubbing her hands.
Yeah. this is not good news, though, for the markets.
No,
and of course, the China trade war continues to... To irritate
do you know
and
that that's been
people.
Going for a year? We've been speaking about that for a year. I feel like...
It seems even that Trump is changing his mind on this. You know, you and I always said, if you're going to be a free market kind of person, then let the free market make the decisions.
Yeah.
And here we've got Trump interfering. And he's supposedly a free market guy. And he's doing what is essentially protectionism.
I think Trump goes where the wind blows.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's just trying to get popularity points up.
Yeah, because last week in front of the UN, he stood up and criticized Beijing. This is after the week before. He said, oh, no, things are going really well. We're negotiating well. The man can't make up his mind, honestly.
Yeah. All right.
And all of that, you know South Africa follows global markets. And as of Friday, because it's month end today, I checked, the All Share Index was down 5% for the quarter, and it could be the worst third quarter performance in 9 years. Mostly property and construction sectors leading the way down, so that's the worst.
That's terrible.
It's awful. It's just horrible to see this happen. But despite all of this, we still managed to raise $5 billion in our biggest ever Eurobond sale. Now, I know this is going to sound counterintuitive, but a Eurobond is a South African government-issued bond in dollars, not euros. The name just happens to be Eurobonds.
Okay.
So, we raised $5 billion. We wanted to raise $4 billion. That was the government's aim. It was 2.7 times oversubscribed. So what happens now, in fact, is that we've got an extra $1 billion for next year's fiscus. The problem, and everyone's like, wow, that's exciting because it shows that global investors are looking to South Africa and investing in South Africa. And yeah, I guess that's kind of true, but it really is a yield play. So there were two notes, the 10-year and the 30-year maturities. And the 10-year went out at 4.85%, so government's paying 4.85% in dollars.
Right.
Take note of this one, because as the exchange rate changes, their interest payment goes up or down. And 5.75% for the 30-year. And so obviously global investors are going, oh, I can get almost 6% in dollars, where if I invested in EDF, which is the French electricity utility, I get 1.5%.
Wow.
Yeah. So quite, I mean, I tried to look and see where emerging market government bonds, euro bonds were trading, and they really are all over the place. So I kind of thought, oh, that's a waste of time. But it really is about the yield. And so everyone, so as I was saying, everyone's very excited that we're able to raise money from the global investment community. But actually, if you think about it, what we've done is increase our debt-to-income ratio. Because it's not like, as Edward Kiesewetter said, it's not like our income has increased, but our debt still has increased. You know, we've borrowed more money. So I think the budget speech, which, by the way, was delayed, it's now on the 30th of October. I think it's going to be a difficult one.
All right. Very difficult one. Okay.
And then lots of company news, very peculiar company news for like Pick and Pay. Here's the headline for Pick and Pay. Total debt increased to 17 billion rand from 1.6 billion rand. 10 times it increased in a year.
Sure.
Like what a crazy headline, right? But actually it was just an accounting issue. So all they've done is taken IFRS 6 and said that their theoretical lease liabilities now have to go onto the balance sheet, which all sounds very complicated, but it's not. So obviously Pick and Pay rents a lot of stores, right? And the accounting practice is now saying that actually they have to reflect their rental payments out for however long those rentals are. And that's how that happened. But okay. I, when I saw the headline, can you imagine?
Yes, absolutely. No, that's pretty terrifying.
Pale. And Pick and Pay said they still have no long-term debt, and so it actually doesn't affect their risk profile or their liquidity or ability to raise funds, so they're fine.
Okay.
What else? Oh, we have to talk about this banking strike, first of all, very briefly, because, you know, first, SASBO were going to have the first banking strike in like 100 years or something.
Yes.
And then last week, Thursday, the Labour Court ruled that it was unconstitutional, illegal, whatever. And so they had to call off the strike. And then on Thursday, Capitec put out results saying that where all the other banks were firing people or retrenching or letting people go, Capitec are hiring people. So they're hiring another 600 people in the next couple of months where everyone else is laying off.
How do they buck the trend? Tell me, how have they figured this out and the others haven't?
So definitely it's a change of It's a change of the model, right? So they're targeting lower LSM groups, very strong customer growth. They're still adding 200,000 new clients per month.
Wow.
And this is over the last month. They now have 12.6 million active clients. They've introduced the credit card, which has increased by 71% in the last year. So they really are targeting low, you know, they're advertising, marketing low fees and higher returns. And I think the consumer's just woken up and saying, well, actually, you know what? I don't really care for free airport lounge
Yeah, I just want access. Cheaper rates.
Yeah, just give me, don't charge me so much for having a check account or Absolutely. Credit card or whatever it is. So yeah, some really great numbers out of Capitec. So even their income from operations rose 7%, which in an environment where everyone else is retrenching and cutting jobs and, you know, Capitec's doing that. And of course, they're very much focused on as few branches as possible, really doing digital. They app transactions doubled, which is fantastic. So really people, I think, just are cottoning on to this new way of doing banking.
Fantastic.
And I don't know if you remember, in 2018, good for them, by the way.
I mean, like we've got so many bad news stories. Good for Capitec that they're managing to do all of this.
Indeed.
In a depressed economy. It's very good.
Yeah. So the one thing we look at when we look at the banks, we watch very carefully our bad debts, obviously. And in an environment like this, when the consumer's under pressure, they've borrowed money, they lose their jobs, or they can't afford to repay their debt, that is the one thing that does worry us. And so we're watching that very carefully and really hoping that Capitec is not another African bank, because that is what caused the demise of African Bank.
Yeah.
And then while we're on the financial sector, OUTsurance are saying that they're selling their New Zealand insurance business, UE, which is a short-term insurer, to Tower Insurance, which is New Zealand's third largest general insurer. And OUTsurance have said they're going to unlock value. And this is not just about the potential transaction, which is between 94 and 122 million rand.
Right.
This is actually about releasing capital of 400 million rand. So if you're a bank, insurer, asset manager, you need liquidity requirements. You need to meet liquidity requirements, and you have very stringent insurance for key personnel and that sort of thing. And in OUTsurance's case, UE is costing them, in inverted commas, costing 400 million rand a year, because that's how much money you have to put aside. No, I know.
That's hectic.
Yeah, it's very. Right. And of course, you know, you can't get access to OUTsurance because they're not direct access, I should say, because they're not listed on the JSE. But you can get access to them through RMI, Rand Merchant Insurance Holdings, which also owns Discovery. I mean, so you can either buy Discovery directly, or you can have Rand Merchant Insurance, which 40% of Rand RMI is made up of Discovery and OUTsurance. So you can get through that.
Okay.
And then the last financial services business that reported last week was Exponent. And for those who have been in the market as long as I have, you'll know that they used to be John Daniels Holdings.
Sorry, I don't remember that.
Sounds like a cigarette brand.
It does too, doesn't it? John Daniels Holdings. Well, they're a venture capital investment holding group. They said that their loss was going to be increase 195%.
Sure.
They're going to make a loss of 6.6 cents per share, and the share is only trading at 14 cents per share.
So I got a news flash this morning about Forever 21.
Yes, I know all about that. So they're filing for bankruptcy. A couple of weeks ago,
really?
They said they were going into liquidity because they grew too quickly. They opened too many stores. And finally, this weekend, whenever it was, Sunday, yesterday, Tuesday, Saturday, I don't know, they said that they're filing for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Interesting, I know.
And they apparently just opened too many stores.
Exactly. Expanded too quickly. And you know, I think...
So they're permanently 21, not forever 21, semi-permanently at the moment.
Help yourself.
In transient 21. Mm. Okay.
Maybe 21.
Just had to go down there.
sometimes.
All right, so we spoke about Blue Label the other day. What's the new, what is the latest there?
So they put out their results last week. This is a super interesting one. The share fell 10%, another 10% after releasing results. And this, by the way, is after the JSE threatened to suspend the share because they kept delaying their results.
Oh my God.
So revenue's down 3% to 25.9 billion down. Headline loss, they're making a loss per share of R3.12.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the core businesses of Blue Label, like providing airtime, data starter packs, sure, prepaid electricity services, are actually profitable. The issue here is Cell C, which, as you know, made a loss of 8 billion rand. This is compared to the previous year's loss of 656 million rand. So, humongous. I mean, just absolutely crazy. You know, Cell C, when we spoke, I can't remember if I told you this, but when we spoke about it the last time, they'd been downgraded and they were unable to pay their debt. They have 9 billion rands worth of debt on their books. And this is for a company that makes 22 billion rand a year in revenue, not profit, revenue. So they're obviously doing something wrong on that scale. The interesting thing about Blue Label, which the market seems to be completely dismissing, is that they've sold two businesses to the value of a billion rand. This is a company with a market cap of 3 billion rand. So it doesn't make sense for the share to fall another 10%. So I think the market suspects that there's something else going on that they're not putting in their results. The market's just not giving them the benefit of the doubt for this billion rand that they're suddenly going to get for selling businesses.
Hectic.
Mm-hmm. It's a big story, I think. One to follow closely.
All right. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's enough for today, don't you think?
I think
she says with a big sigh.
Taking it out of us. Fair enough. All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys. CliffCentral.com.